Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report. Welcome to the Hagman Report. It is day number 49 of America Held Hostage. It is Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. I want to welcome everyone. I want to thank you so much, folks, for supporting this broadcast and being part of this broadcast. I want to thank you so much as well for subscribing to our channel on Rumble. Folks, we need a lot more people to subscribe to that channel. It raises the visibility of this platform. It does a lot. It even though we are on numerous platforms, including Brighteon, and then you've got Spreaker and iHeart and Roku and everything, this does raise our visibility. So I beg of you, I beseech you to subscribe to Rumble. And that subscription will also allow you to comment and leave your comments. I read the comments. Sometimes I respond to the comments, but you folks can have a discussion about the topics that we're addressing, and I appreciate that. A lot of information to get into. I want to just, again, for those who missed yesterday's program, I made the announcement that Randy Taylor is extremely ill. He's in the hospital, and in case you didn't know, because he sometimes rides shotgun with me on various programs. He's a very good intelligence analyst. But he's in the hospital. He's very sick, and I would appreciate your prayers for him, his wife, his family. So please do that. And you know, he's a friend. He's a good friend, and it hurts. Okay, all right. So a couple of things. I want to start out with this. It's a 1 minute video, and this is Representative Lauren Boebert. Now, the mainstream media, the corporate media, and it's difficult to find. I'm telling you, this is difficult to find. But this is a very compelling video, in my view, and very right on the money. And you know, this woman, a freshman representative, has more grit than many of her Republican, than most of a Republican, the rhinos in Congress. But this is what we need. This is what we need. Watch this.
I'm Lauren Boebert, a mom, a small business owner, a defender of freedom. Here's what I know. You protect what you love. President Trump built a big, beautiful wall because he loves America and he wanted to secure our country and protect us from drugs, illegal aliens pouring into our communities, and sex traffickers. Democrats, they fought him every step of the way. And now, welcome to Fort Pelosi, where Democrats decry walls from within their own heavily guarded razor wire wall. Democrats don't want to protect you because they don't care about you, but they'll spare no expense protecting themselves.
We will not build a wall.
Don, there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
Enough for a wall.
It's time to cut the crap and remember, this is the people's house. Madam Speaker, tear down this wall.
Little video freeze there. Sorry about that. And I came unplugged. Hang on 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves. Excuse me, nothing like live radio on them, right? Love that dead air. Will I be getting emails from the radio audience? Okay. So that was Lauren Boebert. What did you folks think of that? What did you think of that message? Well, who put that wall up there? Who authorized that wall? Who's authorizing the remaining or the guard that is there? Now, John Moore and I spoke about this yesterday. What are they protecting? What are they protecting, or who are they protecting? Let me rephrase that. Where is the threat? By the way, Wisconsin. I'm not sure which courthouse. They're erecting walls in barbed wire fencing, as the trial of Derek Chauvin is continuing. All right. I have another clip for you. The White House is just cringing, as Joe Biden, you know, Mr. Potato Head, is making gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. Now, to me, this is nothing short of elder abuse. Now, we might have to mute the sound after 35 seconds to avoid any copyright infringements, but I will narrate after 35 seconds the text for the radio audience. Take a look at this.
So I want to thank you both, and I want to thank former general. I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there. I want to make sure we thank the secretary for all he's done to try to implement what we've just talked about and for recommending these two women for promotion. Thank you all. May God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
So Biden forgot the name of the building, the Pentagon. He forgot the name of Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense. And this, we are supposed to believe, folks, that this man is the most popular and won by the largest number of voters in the history of our nation. He was speaking on Monday, of course, where he's nominating individuals. Now, he nominated Air Force General Jacqueline Von Ovest to lead the U.S. Transportation Command and some other people there. And he appeared to stumble over Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's name, perhaps even forgetting it.
You know the thing.
Oh, Eric the Tech. Well, how beautiful is that? Right at the moment it was needed. But see, now, if you're watching this as opposed to listening to this, you are seeing the various captions for each frame. Now, this is really an interesting, this is interesting for a couple of reasons. This is not the U.S. media. This is coming from Australia. All right. Now, that's important to understand, of course. The fact that this is coming from Australia, this is not from the United States. And another thing, Biden has not had a solo press conference. What was it, in 48 days, 49 days now? He's been too busy doing what? And the Republican Party, for what they are worth, little, they're pressuring Biden, of course, to have a press conference. But it would be a train wreck. It really would. All right. I wanted to get that in there because, again, think about this. Everything, in my view, everything goes back to November 3rd. We cannot continue forward. We can't move forward without revisiting and staying focused on the events of November 3rd and getting justice, the votes, the election fraud, the voter fraud. I find it very interesting. I don't know how many people have heard this. Over the weekend or within the last 72 hours, of course, an audit is taking place in Maricopa County, Arizona. All right. Now there's a big fight between the state legislature and the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. At any rate, which, even though the vast majority, I think all but one are Republicans, they fought tooth and nail to avoid any kind of audit. They refused Jovan Pulitzer. They refused the ASOG group and others very capable conducting an audit of the ballots. All right. Instead, they allowed in a company reportedly associated or having ties with none other than the machine makers, the makers of the voting machines. So the optics alone are bad on this. You know, look, I've 30 plus years as an investigator investigating fraud and such. It's just absolutely mind-boggling what's taking place. Eric the Tech, there's a picture of a guy, and I'm going to be talking about now. I didn't send this to you. I don't know if you can find it. It's Maricopa County, and a military vet went dumpster diving. Okay. Now, this is on a public, and this is on taxpayer-funded property. He jumped into a dumpster. I think the Gateway Pundit might have had it, pictures of this. Now, there's a reason I'm bringing this up. The days before the audit, it was scheduled to start. This man, saw that the dumpster was, there was a dumpster on the property and saw the dumpster was open. And I should add that this man is a military veteran, older man, won Purple Hearts. I mean, it's just, it's an incredible story. So he looks in the dumpster and he sees these shredding bags. So he jumps in the dumpster and starts going through the bags. And I've done this, okay? I've done dumpster diving in my career as an investigator. That's called dumpster diving. And finds the perfect, perfect. You're the man. Check this out. Again, this could be from Gateway Pundit. I'm not sure. Is that where it's from? Okay. All right. This is from an Arizona publication. All right. Shredded ballots. He found bags of shredded ballots inside the Maricopa County elections dumpster. All right. Where the ballots were being held and such. So we opened the bags and found shredded. There's a picture. I don't know if it's down anywhere else, but there's a picture of the bags on tables with the shredding. All right. All right. Now, again, there's a reason I'm bringing this up. I know got a lot of cops listen to this show. I know a lot of investigators, private and as well as civic investigators, public or, police officers listen and watch this show. Detectives, I know that you've done dumpster diving yourself. And I know that I can tell. If you've ever done it, and I've got a picture that, it's on another hard drive of, of what I found one time, and I used this for a court case. This gentleman spread out all the, shredded material. And when he looked at it, piecing it together, he confirmed that these were completed ballots by people because, of the way that the circles were filled out for the 2020 election. Now, the reason I mentioned detectives and investigators, if you've ever found a bag of shredding in your, your investigation would call for, I really would have liked to have seen that before it was shredded. How many of you out there have spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours taping those together? Okay. I've done it. I spent like 2.5 days doing it one time. Again, to submit it to a court, for a trial. But this guy needs another medal. Instead, what's happening here, and I'm going to give you the short version, what's happening is the Maricopa County officials want to criminally charge him for theft. And I believe trespass and some other, related issues. This is how far that this has gone and is still going on. Folks, the fraud on November 3rd, and I don't have to really tell you, everyone knows. See, we know. And they know. We know that they know. They know that we know. And they know that we know that they know. Did you follow that? Follow the bouncing ball. I'm telling you, all right, this is a fight to the finish, and it has to be. because we are about to lose our country. There it is. This man, I'll tell you what, I want to buy him supper. I don't know what I could possibly do for this man, but this is what you and I need to be doing. And I'm not saying dive into dumpsters, although that's part of it.
Just need to bail him out if he gets arrested.
I'm going to tell you what.
Because you can't do that.
You know what, Eric the Tech, if they arrest him, I'm seriously thinking about traveling down to where he's at in Arizona. And I will personally, I mean, I'll put up my house. Well, do they take houses with like three mortgages on it?
I don't think the bail would be very big for something like this. So,
oh, you don't know. I got to tell you, these people are really mean.
Well, then we'll get them out.
I'm telling you what, okay, the fraud is so blatant. And God bless this man. God bless him. Because I've been in that position. You know, that brings back so many memories, okay? I've done that myself. I've gone in there. I've pulled out, not ballots, but papers. And I've put them together. And it's a time-consuming process. But this right there proves, by itself, it is prima facie evidence of exactly what's taking place in this country. This is beyond the pale. And I'll tell you what, seriously, I will reach out to that man and his family.
And I think I read that Arizona saves ballots for 24 months, I think.
22 months, I think, by law, yeah, but 24. Yeah. Yeah. It's something that we have to, I mean, give me a reason why you would be shredding 2020 ballots. You know, there has to be a person, and this is in court when I've testified
we are positive they are 2020 ballots?
Absolutely, 100% positive.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And not only 2020 ballots, these weren't extras. These were completed, and they were not rejects for, I made a mistake, give me another ballot. No. The investigation conducted on the ground in Arizona on behalf of what you saw there verified that these were legitimate ballots. So
I just love how the county puts out statements. We don't shred until 24 months after.
Exactly. And it's laughable. Again, we know, they know, we know that they know, and they know that we know that they know, or something to that effect, but you get the idea. So this is, to me, we cannot move past the 2020 elections. I don't care what people are saying. Well, we'll get them in 2022. No, we're not going to get them. We'll get them in 2024. No, 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 and hell no. The reason I opened up with Representative Boebert was to show you the brass that she has, that we, each one of us, needs in order to remain in this fight. And then showing you Biden, forgetting the name of the building, the Pentagon. Believe me, sometimes I make some really bad gaffes, okay?
That thing with the five sides.
Yeah, and you know, what did he say? He said something about when he forgot Lloyd Austin's name. I don't even remember. See, I don't remember what he said. But it was
that
just
thing that the plane hit, and then yeah. There's no plane parts.
Yeah, that thing. So, okay. The reason I did this is because this is what we get. And we are this third world country at the moment that we're the laughingstock. And the fact that the Biden gaffes, or the fact that that this was reported through by Australia. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I got hairy legs.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to comb my hairy legs and let the roaches run up and down. He referenced something about roaches or something, or referenced the children as roaches, or I don't recall, but my goodness. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to move on to something else here before I get into some deep stuff. Of course, this is pretty deep in and of itself. Gab. Andrew Torba. God bless that man too. Now, when we fight, and we have to fight, as Christian businesses and as Christians, we have to fight, and we have to fight for one another. Gab had released a couple of, I don't want to say tweets, but messages by way of their platform. The first message, there was a statement by Andrew Torba from Gab. Again, he's a good Christian businessman, good man. Now, I would like you to, folks, for those watching, read this carefully. And for those listening, I'll read it for you. Now, again, this is Gab, and let me open it here on my computer so I don't have to squint for the preview monitor. Okay, Gab. We took the site down to investigate a security breach. Banks are banning us. Hackers are attacking us. Journalists are libeling us. Why? Well, the answer is real simple. Gab glorifies Jesus Christ and is fighting to protect free speech online for all people. Spiritual warfare. And you know, in the past, I've talked about spiritual warfare and I've been with Russ Dizdar and we've talked about it, and just leave that up for a moment because we're going to scroll down. There's two more messages, but, I don't think I've ever in my life seen spiritual warfare at this level. His next statement is Gab is an American business run by law abiding American citizens that can't get business, that can't get a business checking account, can't process credit and debit cards online, and can't access basic online services run by tech monopolies. Where are our leaders? Where is the GOP? That's a great question. Where are our leaders? Again, I showed you the Lauren Bobert, or Boebert, Bobert. Ouch. Lauren Boebert, representative.
Sorry, Lauren.
Yeah, sorry indeed. I'm gonna go in the field and look for it. Lorena Bobbitt, you know, folks, if I have to explain that joke, it's not a joke. Anyway. So she has got more tenacity and speaks more truth in the Republicans. Yes, I have to say Republicans. Yes, sometimes I have to say Democrats so people understand what I'm talking about, as opposed to the communist left and the Republicans in name only and all the subsets they're in. But nonetheless, where is the leadership in this country? Now, what you're looking at in these first two posts, at least in my view, and I have a big surprise for you coming. Okay. So just hold on a second. This is us in the future. You want to find a bank? You're not going to find a bank. Why? Oh, they checked your social credit score, or my goodness, you were at the Capitol. Oh, you're a domestic terrorist. You're labeled a domestic terrorist by the intelligence community. Yes, that's coming. Oh, that's already here. You're not going to be able to bank. You're not going to be able to fly. You're not going to be able to get into federal buildings. You're not going to be able to get into county and city buildings. Why? You know, I mean, if you want to pay your taxes. Because you're going to be labeled as a domestic terrorist. But we're law-abiding citizens. Andrew Torba says, Gab is an American business run by law-abiding American citizens that can't get a business checking account, can't process credit and debit cards online, can't access basic online services run by tech monopolies. This is what big tech is doing to us. Communist China is right here, and it's infused all throughout the branches of our government, all through big tech, all through Hollywood, and all through local and state governments. Okay. The third posting. Now we are being ransomed and threatened by criminal hackers. Now, there's a period there, and I'm going to stop there for a second. do you think these criminal hackers are doing this on their own? Oh, it's possible, but I doubt it. The media cheers them on and supports their efforts, but who's really behind these criminal hackers? I submit to you, members of the Obama intelligence community, because what I'm going to get to here momentarily is the Obama intelligence community. Andrew Torber writes, this is the United States of America, a totally subverted nation under the occupation of a handful of oligarch tyrants who use their power to destroy dissenters. Folks, what happens after they destroy you? What happens after you can't get a bank account? What happens after you can't go to the store for food or bank? This is not some hyperbolic pipe dream. This is here now. And you know who first said it? Steve Quayle and Alex Jones and the, I'll call them thought leaders. Maybe that's not the proper term. People who were ahead of the curve, and everyone said, oh, that's a bunch of hooey. That's never going to happen. It's here, and it's here today. But here's the little twist or surprise I was talking about. You say you can't get a bank account, but you know what? There are Christian banks out there. A lot of Christian banks, right? Well, I mean, enough where you can go banking at a Christian bank. Image 2, I think. Let's look at image 2. There we go. Again, I'm going to open it on my screen as opposed to looking at the preview monitor. For those who are listening on the radio, there is a picture, or a screenshot, posted by Andrew Torba. This is the bank that banned us last week. He writes, after I spent weeks speaking with multiple people, opening our account, wiring them a large sum of money for an initial deposit, and explaining our story and business model to them, they wasted a whole lot of my time and ended up being just like all of the other banks. Okay, now, he also posts in there what appears to be a posting from the bank that states, if united we stand, divided we fall, shouldn't we help each other find and fund Christian-centered businesses? We know that Gab, Andrew Torba, is dealing with being blackballed among financial institutions. Could this be you or I in the future, or all of us? Well, here's one bank I found in less than 5 seconds. And the bank's name, yes, you see it right there, Evangelical Christian Credit Union. Huh? Wait a second. You mean to tell me that Evangelical Christian Credit Union, despite their name, banned Andrew Torba? They did. Of course, after wasting his time, taking his money. Evangelical Christian Bank, right? So who are these people? I went to their webpage, of course, and that's within the Gab, or that's within the communication. The link is within the communication. So I went to their website.
Torba say this was the bank?
Yes, he identified it. Yeah. Right, okay. On top there, the first sentence. This is the bank that banned us.
Oh, yes.
So, okay. In the email that I sent to show prep, I included a link to who these people are. The Evangelical Christian Council, Christian Credit Union and Leadership. And there they are. Abel Pomar, Greg Talbot, Talbot, Susan Rushing, and Chuck Kelly. These are the president and CEO, VP and senior VP and CFO and CRO and CTO. All right. This is about the ECCU leadership. And boy, they, in my view, okay, now look, folks, I'm not doxing anything. Okay. I'm just reporting, or I'm not doxing, or I'm not, I'm just showing what Andrew Torba had written. Okay. Now, apparently, again, they found this bank in 5 seconds. So Andrew Torba said, so, okay, I went with this because they spoke a very good, they did look good. Yet he was banned. And when you read, get into this, and in the website you can go to is eccu.org. That's eccu.org. To learn about the bank, to learn about the membership into this, and to learn about the people behind the ECCU leadership. Folks, you know what to do, right? You know what to do. But again, the reason I thought this was important is because when you've got the specter of evangelical businesses and the specter of this, hey, we'll take care of you, and that turns out to be totally false, you've got to ask a couple of questions. One of the first questions, you, at least in my view, you have to ask is, what happened? Who or why? Why did you cancel? Why did you not follow through on your promises? Why did you ostensibly go against your mission statement? So when you start digging, and I would urge people, start digging. Or hey, even contact them and just ask, why did you do this? None of these, Gab does not embrace hate speech or promote hate speech or any kind of terror or terroristic threats. So you have to learn, in my view, you have to learn why Gab was discounted, banned, and left for dead by people who call themselves evangelicals. And I'm telling you, what you'll learn is not very comforting, because what's coming down the pike, and I will tell you this, what's coming down the pike is it's going to be you and it's going to be me who won't be able to do the banking. It's going to be you and me who won't be able to process payments. If you have a business or get a credit card, if you identify with the Christian conservatives, not the evangelicals that are these, they say they are, but they're really not. Okay. So this is coming. All right. Now, a couple of things getting into some really heavy duty stuff. I did want to mention, the Biden regime, when you start looking at the Biden regime and you start looking at the compositions of the Biden regime, you got to ask yourself, who is really running things? Who is behind Biden? Now, I know the deep state. I know, the players. Okay. You get the idea. In a moment, I'd like to play a little bit from a video that I think is extremely important. It was done yesterday. It was an interview by Alex Jones interviewing Roger Stone. And folks, if you know anything about Roger Stone, Roger knows who the inside players are. He's been on this program. We've talked to him, and he, at least in my view, and it by his own confession and utterances, he's a saved man. All right. And he's a different man. He's different than he was 30 years ago or 3 years ago. Heck, even a year ago. All right. So that's coming. But when you look at the Biden regime in the shape of this, I want to point this out. because I think this is so critically important. Yes, who's above him? Who's pulling the strings of this puppet? But equally important is who is underneath him and who is really running the day-to-day operations. Who's doing the real work? Okay. Individuals from the Obama regime. Period. I could put a period right there, but let's go through some of these people. All right. Because some of them are well known. Others are really not necessarily, but every one of these people played integral and important roles in the Obama regime, the illicit, illegitimate Obama regime. First and foremost, we have none other than Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor, who is now the president on domestic policy and related decisions. Okay, she takes care of domestic policy and related decisions. She admitted to participating in unmasking members of the President Trump transition team. She admitted it, which is frowned upon, but is also against the law, but nonetheless. And unmasking, for those unaware, unmasking is the process whereby a U.S. citizen's identity is revealed from collected sources from investigative documents. Initially, she publicly denied these allegations, claiming that, and I quote, "I know nothing about this. I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Nunes on that count today." Now, she also swore to this under oath, if it's, I'm certain. 2 weeks after that statement, Rice said that she had not done what she did for any political purposes. Well, again, when you look at the motive behind all of this, there's nothing but political purposes. Rice told House investigators that she unmasked the identities of senior Trump officials to understand why the Crown Prince of the United Arab Emirates was in New York. This was at the time. Just to give you a little background. Now, she was also present at remember that meeting on Inauguration Day when President Trump was taking the oath of office? There was a meeting in the Oval Office. I shouldn't say when he was, right before that. I mean, they were just barely almost out of the White House. There was Barack Hussein Obama. There was Joe Biden. These are the people in this meeting now. FBI Director James Comey and Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates. They all met in this room. And this is when Susan Rice sent that CYA memo email saying, "We did everything." Obama said, "We did everything by the book." Okay. They were also talking about, incoming National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, his call with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Now, these names might sound familiar, and I hope they do. This goes back to Crossfire Hurricane. Stefan Halpert's come out recently. His role in Crossfire Hurricane is much more significant than previously known. And I'm going to be doing a specific segment or a specific expose on this. John Solomon did a wonderful job. Epic Times did a great job in exposing all of this. But this is really at the heart. You cannot, at least in my view, you cannot separate November 3rd, the events of the fraud, the voter fraud, and the election fraud. You can't separate that from what happened under Obama. And when you look at Biden, again, you saw the gaffes. You saw Mr. Potato Head. I'm telling you, man, that this guy, again, it's elder abuse. He's not there mentally. And Kamala Harris, Lord help us when that transition takes place, Lord help us. And it's going to. But again, getting back to the people, Rice was at that meeting. And you know what? Biden was there. And I just felt it really interesting. Biden was the only, but initial, but only person to bring up the Logan Act, against some of the targets. But and especially against Lieutenant General Michael Flynn in the Flynn legal case. Notes from FBI agent Peter Strzok revealed that Obama, Comey, Yates, Biden, and Susan Rice discussed the transcripts of Flynn's calls, plural, and how to proceed against them. Obama himself directed that the right people, meaning his people, investigate General Flynn. This, and remember, too, what happened. I mean, all that happened to General Flynn. Because we could all be General Flynn to some degree. All right? Just as we can all be Alex Jones to some degree, or Andrew Torba. And we will be if we allow this to continue. But Biden was the one who personally raised the idea of the Logan Act that would be initially used to pursue Flynn. Okay, so that's Susan Rice. Now we also have, under Biden, Samantha Power. She's been named as administrator for USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development. Now, her position hasn't yet been confirmed, but she was a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations under the Obama junta, under the Obama regime. Dan Coats, former director of intelligence, Representative Devin Nunes, noted that Samantha Power, whose position had no apparent intelligence-related function, well, she made hundreds of unmasking requests during the final year of the Obama regime. Now, why is that important? Because all of this, all of these people I'm naming are players, current and former, into taking this country down, taking our republic down. These people have Maoist and Marxist ideologies that are propelling their actions today, and they're all under Biden or about to be, and they were all under Obama. Okay. Now, some of the lesser-known people, and I want to just mark these names down, please, because you're going to be hearing more about them. And if you were paying attention when I was doing my morning radio show, and I'm going to be doing some other things, other projects, so to bring you that same caliber of information, the name John Carlin will ring a bell. Acting Deputy Attorney General John Carlin. He's involved currently in the investigation of the events at the Capitol of January 6th. He's responsible for and facilitated more than 300 people who have been charged relative to those events or in relation to those events at the Capitol. And more than 280 have been arrested out of those 300. I think that number has climbed over the last 24 hours. Now, back on February 26, Carlin told reporters that the investigation is moving at a speed and scale that's unprecedented. So believe me, they want to identify everyone who is out at the Capitol. Now, those people who were involved in the Patreon call last Sunday heard Sam Andrews talking about, look, if you were there on the grounds, not even inside the Capitol, but just on the grounds, they're coming for you. The FBI is coming for you. That doesn't mean you're going to get arrested. They want to talk to you. Believe me, I can verify that. It's because, of course, Sam Andrews and others were reporting on behalf of the Hagman Report. Man, that put us up there pretty high on the interest scale by the intelligence community. And I'll tell you something, okay? The hot lights, they're not bothering me that much anymore. So come on over. Come on in. Because I ain't talking to you. And I would say this, and I know John Moore and others would agree with me. If the FBI at this point, given, and I used to, look, I used to be an operational and informational asset for the FBI and the Department of Justice back in the 90s. Okay. And, even back then it was a little different. I had a lot of respect for, and that I never liked this word, but if you work for the FBI in that capacity, you have a handler, okay? They give you a handler. This is, and I'm not going to go through the whole process because, well, I can't, you know, NDA and stuff like that. But you're assigned a person who you report to and you work with, and you know, that handler guides you through different things. And that's, of course, after he provides you with a stack of papers and you sign your life away saying you're not going to talk about this and you're not going to talk about that and you're not going to. And if we accidentally shoot you in the back of the head, your family can't sue us, and, you know, normal stuff like that. Eric the Tech, I mean, that's reasonable, right? If we accidentally smother you in a plastic bag or poison, that's okay. You can't, and you can't take these papers home with you. You got to leave them at the, you know. All right.
I had you sign one of those.
Because I was being a patriotic citizen.
I'll grab the bag.
Yeah, so John Carlin, keep this in mind now. This guy, who was responsible for a large part of Crossfire Hurricane in the DOJ side of things, is now prosecuting who? The people who identify or self-identify as patriots. So, in April 2014 through October 2016, he was involved in the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation of the Trump campaign, as I said. And now Lisa Page, according to her, Carlin was receiving briefings on both the Clinton and Trump investigations. Clinton investigation, the email stuff, which was just going through the motions, but the President Trump investigations, he was talking to Andrew McCabe from the FBI, and Page testified that Carlin was kept abreast of everything. And guess who else was kept abreast of everything? Barack Hussein Obama. All right. I'm watching the time here because I don't want to run out of time. And I should point out that Carlin had a working relationship with Lisa Page. All right. Thank you, brother. March 2016, Carlin and Preet Bharara. Oh, where have we heard that name before? Preet Bharara, Southern District of New York former. Preet Bharara, very vocal against President Trump, but nonetheless, and who, in my estimation, in my personal view, has got more ego and self-righteousness. You know, he's a self-righteous man. But anyway, I digress. And I've dealt with these morons, these people before. People like this before, okay? Back in March of 2016, Carlin and Preet Bharara. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to get into this. There's a lot of background there. I just suffice it to say that there's a lot of incestuous background. And despite Carlin's involvement with Lisa Page, the FISA, an earlier espionage case in which Page had assisted, and when I say espionage, I'm referring to the situation with Stefan Halper, his role in Crossfire Hurricane and such. Carlin stated that his recollection of Carter Page and the FBI FISA application was limited. He didn't know anything, kind of the Sergeant Schultz of everything. All right. Again, I'm not going to get into because of time. It's just not, I don't have enough time. But remember the name John Carlin, because you're going to hear it more and more and more in the form of the Department of Justice. And it's not a good thing. Okay. Victoria Nuland, let's get to her, shall we? Nominated by Biden, Victoria Nuland. I mean, where do I start, right? Well, she was nominated under Biden as Under Secretary of State for Political Affairs. Don't you love these names, these job titles? I mean, anyway. It's the, actually the third highest ranking post at the State Department. Now, Nuland, you will recall, she's got a very lengthy history in the State Department. She played several roles during the FBI's investigation of the Trump campaign. During the latter half of 2014, Christopher Steele, the man ostensibly behind the Steele dossier and the infamous dossier, which really was the predicate, alleged predicate, or the epicenter for the probe into President Trump. She was heavily involved in that. I'm not going to get into the minutia. She was a recipient of that Steele dossier. Okay. And at that time, she was Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs. Well, why is this important? Well, you may or may not recall or be aware that FBI agent Michael Gaeta traveled to London and met with Christopher Steele at the offices of Steele's firm, a company called Orbis, O-R-B-I-S. Now, at some point, back in 2016, in early July, Steele's early dossier reports were passed to Nuland and to the State Department. And some of the recipients included Jonathan Weiner, then a State Department official who was friends with Christopher Steele. And it could very well be he was friends with Steele through Gaeta or through... that's fine. Nuland had said that she testified that in the middle of July, when Steele was doing other work, Steele became concerned. He passed 2 to 4 pages of short points of what he was finding, and our immediate reaction to that was, this is not within our purview. In other words, I shouldn't have this. This needs to go to the FBI. Okay. And if there's any concern here that one candidate or the election as a whole might be influenced by the Russian Federation, we need to get to the FBI right away. Nuland later said that these documents were passed on at some point to both the FBI and to Secretary of State John Kerry, which would have been her boss, John Kerry, right? Okay. And that opens up an entirely different topic when you have John Kerry, his stepson, involved with Hunter Biden. You see how all of this kind of loops around and connects? I'm telling you, it's just absolutely incredible. So those are some, just remember those names because you're going to be hearing more and more about them. Now, recent news, very quickly here, recent news came. Stefan Halper, another name that you need to know, his role in Crossfire Hurricane was much more significant than previously known. Now, many of you might have seen John Solomon saying, Bull Durham's investigation will probably lead to arrests indictments within 6 to 8 weeks. He came out yesterday or the day before talking about that. Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath. All right. Yeah, I look at that and say, oh, when have we heard this before? Right? It's like this hopium pipe dream. Well, all right. You know what? I'm not going to have much time now. I'm not going to have time to do this. We'll have to pick this up at a different time. But I would urge everyone to look at John Solomon's, just the news website, the reports from there, the unredacted versions of the investigative reports from the FBI. Some are 302, some are just, I believe some are just reports. And take a look at the level of complicity by the very people in the Biden regime today, still there, with the coup attempt that really began in late 2015 and early 2016. I would urge you to do that. All right, I'm going to close out. Before I go any further, folks, I want to thank you for your support. And I also want to thank our corporate sponsors, including, but not, certainly not limited to Lightstream. Folks, have you done this yet? Have you gone to Lightstream? Lightstream.com/Agman. Have you done it? If not, why not? I'm telling you right now, it's spring. There's no better time. Spring's coming up anyway. There's no better time to really, clean house, as I like to say. You know, the average interest rates on credit card debt, it's well over 17%, the APR. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? And we have, because, you know, we had to put some stuff on credit cards. It's just the way it is. Businesses operate. And you start looking at the rates, and my goodness, you see exorbitant rates. Well, I have an answer for you. You can pay off your credit card, if multiple credit cards, and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at just 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's much lower than the national average. You know that. Plus, the rate's fixed, so it's never going to go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the same day as you apply. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a much better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And I've got to tell you this. They're a class act, in my view. The customer service is just phenomenal. By my experience and everyone I've spoken to, they love Lightstream. So just for my listeners and viewers, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. And I'm going to spell it for you because, you know, I am. It is LIGHTSTREAM. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. The lowest rate does require excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And you know what? You're going to thank me later. You'll thank me. I know you will. Do we have time to get into a little bit of what's that? Okay, let's blow through the break. Folks, we're not going to have time to put the entire video up. Here's an interview. Alex Jones was in South Florida talking to Roger Stone. Let's start playing it and play until we have to stop. Go ahead.
You had a bad feeling, said I'm not going that morning.
Sorry.
Well, I'm on a very important mission in Florida, defending our republic, and I am in South Florida, so I thought I've got to check in with the one and the only Roger Stone, who needs no introduction. And so we're just here to talk about the state of America, the state of the world, and the crazy state of the ongoing witch hunts against anybody that is loyal to this republic. Roger, good to see you, my friend.
Alex, great to be here.
You wanted to start out with the current bill, H.R. 1.
Well, first of all, I think it's significant that you're here in Florida because I'm beginning to feel that Florida, not Texas, but Florida will be the last bastion of freedom.
Amen,
to
brother.
My surprise, in my excitement, Governor Ron DeSantis here, both on COVID-19 and on internet censorship, has really been a leader. This is a strong Second Amendment state. There's not going to be any infringement of gun owners' rights under state law in Florida. So, you know, this is kind of it's an oasis of freedom in the country.
John McClain, yippee-ki-yay.
H.R. 1 is one of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen. Essentially what it does is it takes all of the changes that the Democrats made in state election law, which I think awarded them this election, and it codifies it federally. So no signature verification, but mail-out ballots, for example. This is the end. This is the ball game. If this should become law, I'm certain it would be challenged because I think it's unconstitutional. The states cannot be told how to regulate their voter laws. But this is the most draconian thing I've ever seen. This is like the incumbent Democrat protection bill times 10.
Before we get into that horrible area, so we can develop plans to defeat it, and stop it, hopefully at the federal and state level. Let's talk about Governor DeSantis, because he has literally led the way against the COVID hoax, led the way against the lockdowns, led the way against gun grabbing, led the way against big tech censorship, and shamefully, the Texas governor, who I want to support, has only now been forced, thanks to DeSantis' leadership and seeing DeSantis go up in the polls, he's now been forced to sign on to that. So I'm very sad that Texas leadership did not have the common sense and the bona fides to be leaders and do what was right. If there wasn't a DeSantis, we wouldn't see Texas and Mississippi and other states now following suit. They admit they're following Florida suit. So listen, I don't care whether it's Florida, New York, California, wherever. Obviously, New York, California aren't going to go back red. But it is wild to see Florida just surging forward as a real leader. Why is that?
Well, to my surprise, Ron DeSantis, who is a Yale graduate, was more of a center-right Republican, did not endorse Donald Trump in 2016, even when he was on the ticket with him, but then rose to be a defender of the president and the Congress because he saw the outrageousness of the Russian collusion hoax. In truth, he owes his governorship to Donald Trump on two scores. Trump's endorsement in the primary was lethal for DeSantis' opponent, lethal. The rise of Ron DeSantis on Fox and on conservative radio really laid the groundwork for his nomination. And then, frankly, President Trump came here twice in the last 3 weeks, and I would make the argument that he dragged both Governor DeSantis and Senator Scott over the finish line. I think this has made Ron DeSantis understand that the America First agenda has broad support here in Florida. As I'm sure you noticed, it wasn't close here in 2020. This is what is somewhat confounding. In other words,
the lead has gotten bigger for Republicans.
For Donald Trump. Not necessarily for Republicans, for Donald Trump, but he won here much bigger than he won last time. He was not predicted to win here big. It was supposed to be another nail-biter. It wasn't. Record turnout among Cuban Americans, Venezuelan Americans, people who have seen socialism up close. I think that helped. But also even finding more votes in the rural areas and not losing the urban areas.
Didn't we see that in Georgia, and didn't we see that in Colorado? The super pro-Trump candidates won by 70-75%, whereas establishment Republicans lost. It shows that the Trump brand really leads the Republican Party, and polls show that.
There's no question about it. Donald Trump is far more popular than the Republican brand. And more importantly, he brings certain people to his voter coalition. Blue-collar, Catholic, union members. He got 40% of union members.
Is that why we're suddenly seeing...
Well, let's stop that right here. And if you remember how we opened the show, it was with Representative Boebert, okay? That's what we are fighting internally. Now, there's... In that interview, Roger Stone gets in, and Alex Jones, they get into really who and what is behind Biden. There's a lot of information in there. You've got to read between the lines. The link will be in the program description box in the at HagmanReport.com for this program. Yeah, I would urge everyone to watch it and understand what's being said. By the way, I'm really hoping I can get down to Florida for a very special meeting. Period. I'm just going to leave it there. Because I'll tell you what, folks, we are doing things behind the scenes to advance the exposure of the Maoist, Marxist, communists here in the government, as well as engaging in activities, hopefully that will bring some level of justice where none exists. All right. I want to thank you for allowing me to go through the break. You're listening to the Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. And today, of course, is America Held Hostage, day number 49. It's Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. And speaking of, I talked earlier about tidying up for spring. You know, Eric the Tech did a marvelous job in my office. I mean, absolutely marvelous job in my office. We had some damage from a while ago. He fixed that and basically did a complete gutting and remodeling in my office. And I so appreciate that. And while he was doing that, we were talking about a number of things. We're talking about families and, folks, it's never been more important than it is today to make sure that your insurance, your life insurance is in order, that your family is protected in the event of should something happen to you. I mean, why not start protecting your family with life insurance? I have the name of a company for you. Please mark this down. Please write this down. PolicyGenius.com. PolicyGenius can help you compare top insurers in one place and save you 50% or more. Once you find your best option, PolicyGenius team, they're going to set up your new policy for you and answer any questions you might have along the way. And here's how you get started. First, go to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need. Yeah, there's a formula for it. Compare quotes to find your best price. And they make it easy to compare policies. From as little as $15 a month, you might even be able to skip the in-person medical examination. Since their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, there's zero hassle. And if you hit any speed bumps along the way, they're going to take care of everything. That's Policy Genius. So here's what you need to do. While you're tidying up like we do around the house or around the office or wherever this spring, why not get your life insurance organized as well? You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes and feel good knowing that if something happens, your loved ones, they're going to be taken care of. Go to PolicyGenius.com to get started. I can't stress this enough, how important this is. I've seen horrors and I've seen life insurance actually mitigate the financial devastation possible by one's death. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. That's PolicyGenius.com. Go there to get started. All right. With me, if it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stan Deo, Stan the Man. Folks, if you haven't done so already, you need to go to EMPShield.com first. Make sure you're taken care of with that. This is the brainchild of Stan Deo and team. I'm telling you what, everyone needs an EMP shield in my opinion. I'm a believer because if something happens, you've got a computer, you've got electronic equipment, you've got a vehicle, things run on computers now. You don't want to lose them in the event of a coronal mass ejection or a Carrington style event, or hey, even if the Iranians don't get their billions of dollars in cash by pallet from Biden, well, you certainly want to be protected, right? EMP Shield will do that for you. Go to EMPShield.com. Use the code Hagman for $50 off. And if you order more than 3 or 5 or whatever, if you order in larger quantities, because you know what? You got friends, you got family, you got cars, you got generators, you got all kinds of stuff. Talk to the folks there. Check things out there. You're going to need, you're even going to get a bigger discount, by the way. So go to EMPShield.com and use the code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, for $50 off. And then there's quantity discounts as well. But I'm a big believer in that, as well as I'm a big believer in Stan and Holly Dale. So much so, I love their Patreon meetings. I'm a Patreon member myself. I love to listen to Stan. I would love to watch his demonstrations during the Patreon time with him on Patreon. So, folks, support Stan and Holly Dale by becoming members of his Patreon. I'm telling you, it's well worth it. As well as bookmarking standeo.com, because I know Holly's up in the middle of the night searching for all important stories, all important information that you need to know. I'll tell you what, I do check that every single day, multiple times a day. Because why? Because I want to be informed. And they've got some great stuff there too. That's standeo.com. And Stan, thanks for bearing with me as we went through some housekeeping. How are you, sir?
Oh, good, good. After that discussion about Holly's website and things, I've got to race over there and broaden my knowledge base.
I'm telling you, man, you gotta bookmark it. Go there, standale.com. She does a wonderful job. I don't know what she does. She ever sleep or?
She gets up about 4 and takes her about 30 minutes to get all the things set up to go downstairs with coffee and And then after that, she works probably till about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Stops to do lunch for us and the doggy. Well, sometimes I do that, but and then there's a rest time in the afternoon for about 3:30 or so. She might take a nap while we're watching a afternoon show or something. And yeah, so she runs on low sleep.
You know, there's just so much information there, and I love. You know what? I love this setup. It's easy. You can go through all of the headlines and everything that's important is right there. So standeo.com, folks, bookmark that website. All right, sir. What's on your agenda for today? What's on your mind for today?
Oh, war primarily. Yeah. War with China and Russia, new developments in the Middle East, earthquake and volcano problems, all those kind of things.
I purposely avoided discussion about war in the Middle East because there's a lot of stuff going on the first hour because I knew Stan was going to address this. So go ahead, sir.
All right. I'm going to reference some things on my show images page, Eric. First of all, Biden, you know, sitting in the White House. Slide 59, you see a picture of him there that kind of looks like, where am I? In a time when we need a president that has these marbles all where they should be. But he says in this slide 59, he urges that we start developing artificial intelligence weapons. Now, I've discussed this several times on the show here, and artificial intelligence means that you've got very fast computers linked or networked, and they have been done so in a manner that makes them like a digital brain, trying to copy what God gave humans and stuff. And since they're so fast, like a million to 100 million times faster than we would do a thought, when you program these things to evaluate, say, positions of your enemy in the stock market, in the trade market, and in the military markets and whatever, this supercomputer has been given value judgments by several programmers, which say, if these conditions arise, blah, 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 whatever they are, then it's time to attack the United States. Or Russia, or, you know, whatever. So, I mean, this has been going on, this development, for over 20 years. So the faster these computers are, the more stuff and the more trouble they can get into. They process data, and they can now, what they call heuristic, they can now go out and access data files and information without what the programmers told them to do. They can say, oh, I need to know this. And so they're virtually like a being, you know, intelligent, being able to go out and acquire information for what it needs. So this is what Biden is saying all of a sudden now. I mean, gee, we ought to develop AI weapons that are better than the Chinese and the Russians. Duh. I mean, we've been developing these things. So have the Chinese. And this next war, which is just about to start, the part of it anyway, is going to be two or three parts of it, according to the Bible. We're going to see it start over a battle of supercomputers that have been turned into artificial beings. And he's right, but he's about 20 years behind the scenes about saying, let's build something that's, you know, going to fight AI with Russia and China. The development of the quantum computer, which I discussed last week, the week before on your show, is one of the things that long term would help the United States defend itself. But sadly, Russia and China are either ahead of us or doing the same kind of development in their countries. We're making this super, super fast, unbelievably fast computer. And when it can make decisions, you know, like based on everybody in the world, and they can monitor data on everybody in the world economically that's, you know, using any kind of digital cash or whatever, and when they can monitor ship movements and satellite positions and, you know, temperature of the president while he sits in the White House. I mean, these things, well, they can all be monitored by supercomputers. We are in trouble. And in fact, when I read this here, it was just after I'd heard from Holly, we got an email about the Biden White House asking for help down at the border because they've got a crisis with all the illegals gathering there and crossing over with diseases. You know, I was astounded to hear this. I mean, here he is with all these promises. He's sitting in the White House and says, help! I didn't do it right, guys. And I just, you know, God, want to pull my hair out when I see that.
Anyway. It's amazing. You know, schools are open or schools are closed. Borders are open. We've moved into crazy town, I suppose. You've got, certain titles of Dr. Seuss's books banned and Mein Kampf isn't. You've got, ABCs and those are racist and homophobic and gay BCs are being pushed. And this is the Biden, help me. And he mentioned that, where am I kind of thing. The first hour I played just a short clip of Biden forgetting the name of the building of the Pentagon and temporarily forgetting about who the Secretary of Defense is. So, you know, I'll tell you what, Stan, help me. Yeah. Help me, I guess would be applicable to, Joe Biden. I don't know. How do you get in there anyway, well, right?
Yeah. Oh, he was a puppet put up there for reasons of just gaining control of the White House. But, you know, when they're making efforts to take his finger off the nuclear trigger, that tells you that they're worried about it. But, of course, they're doing that so that they can justify taking him out of office for mental reasons, incapacity, and then put Kamala in there, which would be, you know, her doing what Obama tells her. And so you see these moves are being done to justify the need to replace him. But also what they're doing is they're saying, oops, we've made a few mistakes, because even behind the scenes, those making the EOs that he has to sign, those making the decisions he's doing on, what is it now, 80 different policies. It is so bad that the American people, and I include Democrats and Republicans and independents together in that, the American people are saying this guy, his administration, those behind him have to be taken out of office before they destroy the country. We're on the verge of a panic here. And when you hear him say, you know, in the White House, geez, guys, I need help down there at the border. I know I said open the borders, but gee, that's bringing in Ebola and, you know, COVID. And there's a problem there. So yeah. The American people are ready if someone were to mount a legal effort or otherwise to regain control of the White House and the government legally.
How would that work?
Well, there would be, probably be some changes at the Supreme Court level and various other judges that would reverse opinions or would hear arguments that they wouldn't before to allow President Trump to ascend to the office because he was illegally taken out of the election, like they illegally stole the government of the United States. So there are moves in the background, as you know, going on.
Yeah. Yep.
And Florida's looking better and better, shall we say.
I'm glad you said that, because right before your appearance, Alex Jones was talking to Roger Stone in Florida, and I would urge everyone to watch that interview. There's a lot of stuff that's between the lines you got to read or listen to. Yeah, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't give up on Trump and those who want a rational government. We're getting a taste, you know, of what the democratic, communist, socialist government can do, or you know, in the future as well as right now. And it takes a wake-up call like this to get support of the country where it should be, because all this touchy-feely, tree-hugging crap that the left puts out, it's destroying the country. They live in la-la land. It's not real-world decisions they're making. So the people who have elected them just blindly have to see the error of their ways. Otherwise, they're going to be, you know, going to, you know, school comrade-wise and obeying the Communist Party of the United States. Mm-hmm. So it's a prime moment. It's a moment charged with emotion, but I have hope that it will work out for us.
Well, to what you said about him making this, well, Daily Wire came out. Biden already struggling on international stage as the expert warns he may be making the Middle East war worse. Go figure. Yeah.
This guy who can't even remember where he is at the moment, And we're trusting him with handling the Middle East situation, which is worse than the Balkan powder keg of World War One. I mean, this is terrible.
You're right.
He has to go. Even, you know, those that put him in office and support him and all that kind of stuff, they have to realize he's not capable of doing the job. And in this era where we have instantaneous warfare run by computers and whatever, and you have this guy here in charge of it, you got to go. I mean, look.
Gotta go.
Yeah. In slide 58 there, it says Biden abandons Middle East peace. Well, this is part of the war situation. He's got no idea really how to handle what the Trump, administration, Kushner et al. Put into place over there as far as the potential for a Middle East peace between all the Arab states and Israel. And, you know, He's made decisions that are backing us out of deals that were set up in part of the negotiations made for this Middle East peace, like blocking arms shipments of 35 jets to one of the countries over there. And so we see that this is – he has no idea what he's doing, and those behind him who make the decision for him have no idea what they're doing in the Middle East. They are really setting us up for a conflict over there between the Arabs – themselves and Arabs and Israel. The Abraham Accords was set up with a number of different avenues to bring peace and to supply things to various countries in the Middle East to get them to talk together and to be a peaceful conglomerate of Arab Muslim nations. Not happening, though. Not happening. I'm just getting here to one of my news items here. Slide what? We've seen that. Okay. If you look at the warfare situation in the Middle East, in slide 52, we have a picture of a chessboard, chess pieces all over the Middle East. This is from prophecynewswatch.com. It says the chess pieces are being moved into place for a major war in the Middle East. Now, here's someone else, I'm going along with what they're saying as well. Joe Biden has been in the White House for less than 2 months, and the warmongers that Biden has surrounded himself with have been feverishly setting the stage for the next war in the Middle East. They're idiots. They really are idiots when you try to start the war over there. I mean, Saudi Arabia, for instance, is trying to make peace with Israel over a kind of lateral move. In slide 54, the Saudis have said, let me get this on the page here. The Saudis have announced that the Temple Mount is Jewish. The Saudi Arabians have announced that the Temple Mount is Jewish, that Muslims should pray toward Mecca and not toward Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. Now, in essence, what that's saying is, hi, I'm Saudi Arabia, and you guys need to readjust, you Muslims need to readjust your point of worship over here to where the Holy Mosque is here in Mecca. And that takes the pressure off of Jordan then controlling the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. This allows the opening of a door to build the third temple on the Temple Mount without having to have a war with the Muslims or Arabs over doing that. So Saudi Arabia is the big dog in the Middle East. When Saudi Arabia does something like this, the other nations look at it and think seriously about, yeah, that's a good idea. And it might also be a good idea for, in their viewpoint, that if Iran or someone else in the cadre of Arab nations destroys Jerusalem or the Temple Mount, then what are they going to do? Where's the holy place going to be? So they're looking ahead and saying, let's turn our attention toward Mecca and not toward Israel or toward Jerusalem at the Temple Mount. These are little things, little subtle things that are all adding up, saying that the alleged Middle East peace is coming. And that Saudi Arabia is leading the pack in a direction which will allow it to happen and survive whether there is peace or whether Jerusalem is destroyed by Iran. Just interesting things to look at. I mean,
this fits really well with what you've been saying just when we talk about the influencers in the Middle East and, you know, the potentials, the nominees for the man of perdition, you know. Interesting.
Again, I stress on this Mohammed bin Salman, you know, looking like he's going to be the leader of the Middle East and possibly the Antichrist. I've added to my Antichrist data on slide 13, that remember that the person who claimed that the Antichrist of this age would have the initials MBS, Muhammad bin Salman, that remember that the source of that was Nostradamus, and Nostradamus got his information from a demon-like character that appeared when he did certain things with a bowl of water and whatever, that I think that Muhammad bin Salman is being set up to be what appears to the rest of the world that don't know any better, the Antichrist of this age, and that he will be overthrown by the real Antichrist of this age, who will then say, look, I fulfilled biblical prophecy because I got rid of the bad dude that was going to be the Antichrist of the world. I sincerely think that Muhammad bin Salman will be taken down by another guy, perhaps out of Turkey. There are a couple of candidates, but that the real one will come after they have taken him out of power. So I put that caveat on what I talk about to Muhammad bin Salman as a potential for, you know, Antichrist of the age. Right next to him is a guy from Turkey that's not yet the leader of Turkey, but is fastly gaining favor amongst the people to overthrow Erdogan. And this guy, you know, his last name is Soylu, but his first name is Suleiman. And in Turkey, Suleiman the Great, you know, Suleiman the Magnificent is revered. And remember back in the 1600s, Suleiman the Magnificent rebuilt the Temple Mount wall and everything and sealed up the East Gate so that Jesus couldn't ride through it and fulfill Christian prophecies. So Turkey plays an important part in the establishment of the New World Order that is coming. And so that's why he's right next to Obama bin Salman. And there are people that are gaining favor. And as they gain favor, I move them to the left of these pictures.
Got it. All right. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, it's not only show images page, but Muhammad bin Salman has been having private talks with the King of Jordan. And this is, I'm sure, getting ready to tell the King of Jordan, we want you to relieve or to relinquish your control of the Temple Mount, you know, as the second or third highest worship place for the Muslims. Because I'm doing a deal here to make everybody go to Mecca, and we'll turn our attention there. So I need your permission, he's saying to the King of Jordan, to relinquish control of that back to Israel. And if that happens, then you'll see a lot of other things fall into place with the third temple construction. So these subtle little arguments that come out, you know, he addresses some Arab regional issues when he goes down and talk to, to Riyadh, to where he lives, basically to talk to the King of Jordan, King Abdullah the Second, and then he goes off to, you know, Oman and to other places to meet with them, and he's forming this consortium very strongly. He had it before Muhammad bin Salman did, but 34 member nations is now growing, and as soon as it's right with him, the other nations will all announce that they join him, and they will look for making peace in the Middle East. Remember, Muhammad bin Salman, Arabia, hates Iran. They're a different kind of Islam. And so the friction is there. And keep watching MBS. He's the guy to watch.
You know, given the fact that, given all those facts, I'm just going to toss this in there. What have you decided? And I'm looking at any chance Obama could be fitting in there? In that list, a little bit higher, maybe, or no?
No.
No?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I mean, if...
Yeah, I mean, United I'm States, curious. I don't mean to.
All right, well...
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. It's a fair question. If the United States is Babylon the seat of the Antichrist government? If the United States is Babylon, it is the seat of the New World Government, then Obama does live here and could possibly take it over. But he wouldn't do it from here. I think if he were going to be the Antichrist or the, you know, the New World Leader for real, that he would be living offshore and would do it through a United Nations post that would be given to him. And so that when America is destroyed, because Babylon is going to be destroyed and, you know, great fire and all kinds of stuff dumped on it. And I think that's us. So I think that if he doesn't move offshore and get away from America, which is going to have all this trouble, that he doesn't run the possibility of being the Middle East, or sorry, the New World Order leader. And remember, the New World Order leader, world leader, is going to combine 10 nations together, five of in Europe and five in the Middle East, and he's going to have connections, you know, dialogue with both sides in Europe and with, you know, with the Catholic Church and things, and in the Middle East with Islam and, you know, and the Pope. So I don't think that Obama is going to be high on my list for that reason. We've just got too many things about to happen in the United States that I think will negate the United States and those living here being a part of the New World Order. I may be wrong. I mean, you know, I preserve the right to be wrong, but
You know, it's just a discussion, because I know I was every week or every time we talk about this, I do get emails asking that question. Well, what about Obama? You know, do you think? So there you have it. So you don't have to sit.
He doesn't have a knowledge. Obama doesn't have the knowledge of the Middle East. I mean, he was kissing the hand of Saudi princes and stuff when he was in office, or kings, and kowtowing and saying, America's so sorry for, you know, being, you know, I can't see him being a strong military leader, and I can't see him understanding how the Middle East mind works. He's ignorant of these things. So anyway, there are so many things I thought of in the past that negate his possibility of taking over seriously. I mean, a military mind. Obama doesn't have a military mind. He has, a marijuana mind.
I love that.
He's not there. Oh, gosh. Anyway, yeah. I mean, let's look at some of the.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
You just made me laugh. That's.
But you know, you can picture him because he did it in college. you know, that's his military mind. You know, it's marijuana, man.
Hey, Mike, let's go for it. Let's get a fatty. Yeah. Okay.
So, all right, let's get to look at some of the Chinese, and Russian military things here. Look at slide 55. China, click on the picture here, and you can see China's naval fleet may have surpassed the United States Navy's. And if you look at these graphs here from 2000 to 2020, you can see that China has been adding, you know, ships, you know, to the point that it's now got 360 battle force, you know, like naval forces, to our 297. Now, if you get to the text underneath that and go to the main article, you'll see that the tonnage, that the United States has more tonnage of ships by weight. Let me see if I can find that here. Okay. In the Navy, the United States has 330,000 active duty personnel to China's 250,000. The number of, you know, sailors, I don't think is really totally indicative of where we stand with China, because they might have fewer servicemen and more intelligent, weapons. And so anyway, the way they do the stats, China's ahead of us in number of them. We're ahead of them in tonnage. We're heavier because we have guided missile destroyers and cruisers, more of those than China. So it's really how you determine the threat by number of missiles, threats, or whatever, number of personnel. But however you look at it, if you go through that article, in fact, if you scan down, you can see Chinese President Xi Jinping greeting some of his naval soldiers there, right? Sailors. And I look at the picture of these faces, and I see clean shaven, strong young men. You know, they're Chinese, of course. But I see all these people standing in a perfect row. And I thought, you know, these are impressive. You know, as a former military man myself, I can say these guys look sharp and act sharp. And I hope that ours can, you know, match up to that. I don't think we'll be able to because of the computers. But anyway, that's.
Meanwhile, the Biden regime is, I'm not sure how to even couch this or present this, but they're working on maternal flight suits and maternal military garb for women. That's their big thing now. I mean, so you look at that versus
Our priorities are just non-existent in this country. They're fairy tales, if anything. They're just out of touch here. This really cries for the judicial system to reverse decisions and hear the arguments on the election process and legally institute President Trump as the original and legal president of the United States before we lose the window to even defend ourselves. This has to be done. The population of the United States, as I said, all parties considered, must look at what's going to happen to this fabulous country that they live in if they don't see the error of this election and allowing it to be stolen like this and correct it rapidly. I mean, the people are, which are enemy soldiers as well, are just running across our borders. People have That's to true. Wake up and cry out publicly for the Supreme Court and various other courts to reverse their decisions and to hear the arguments and to declare the election a default in favor of President Trump because he won the election by a landslide. This has to come from the people.
The Epoch Times is reporting that, and this is from last week. I don't know if you can see this. I'll bring it up here. The Supreme Court, let me see if I can read it here. Supreme Court appears favorable to Arizona election integrity lawsuits. That's not what I was looking for. They dismissed the last President Trump lawsuit without any comment, wherever that is. But something's going to have to be done because, as I said in the first hour, the election was stolen. They, we know it. They know it, meaning the people who stole it. We know they know it, and they know that we know that they know that we know they stole it, if that makes sense. But,
Right.
So something's going to have to be done.
Yeah. And it's the possibility of that is very strong, The shadow government, as it were, is still alive and well.
Well, how can anyone take us seriously or look at Biden and really believe he was elected into office by the will of the people? And especially, too, one of the things that I was watching, and I don't know whether you've been seeing this, in addition to the obvious fraud, no chain of custody proof for 400,000 Georgia ballots, but and what's going on in Arizona and other states, but one of the things on the social media part, like the YouTube views of Biden, they're in. I mean, it's the thumbs down, for example, are in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, while the thumbs up are barely in the triple digits. The comments, they had to disable all the comments because they're all negative. All of this combined, the emperor has no clothes. I mean, it's obvious, but I don't know. It's just, any reasonable thinking human being on this planet would know that we had a coup. All right.
Yeah. And okay. One interesting thing here, slide 53, if you click on the text of it, it will take you over to a video of a Russian aircraft, the Su-57, and you can see the picture there. It's a beautiful picture that was shot with the sun coming through the exhaust of this jet aircraft that they've developed, the Falcon fighter, which is a Russian thing. And if you scroll down the page, Eric, and look at the video, don't press on the go button yet, but it has the sound of a banshee, the sound this aircraft makes when it comes over. And for all the world, those of you that saw Stargate Atlantis, it's like a Wraith, a hive ship fighter. It looks like it. And when you push the button to go on the video, which I'm just doing now, I don't know whether, can you hear that at all? That must be from your side. I wasn't on mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll hear him coming and you'll want to run. You know, I don't know whether to do you any good at that point, but it just struck my mind as an alien spacecraft, you know, or fighter craft coming to get you. At least you'll hear it coming.
won't do you much good, but at least you know you might have time to bend over and.
Yeah, kiss it goodbye. Yeah.
Kiss it goodbye. That's right.
Wow. You know, talking about failures of governments, in slide 39, if you click on the text of that, you'll see that de Blasio, mayor of New York, that his wife, let me just see here, I got off the page, that his wife is saying, we need help. You know, they defund the police, and then they find out that the crime has gone up like 75% for violent crime, murders, and things like that. And so she's saying, look, to people out there, to civilians, we need your help. When you see a crime occurring, go over and change the subject. Stand in between the bad guys, the good guys, or whoever, and try to talk them down. And I'm thinking, you've got to be bloody kidding. You know, you got guns being pulled out and people going to kill each other, whatever. Oh, look, have you seen the weather report today? It's nice. You know, what kind of nonsense is that? Go talk them down with, you know, idle chatter. But we need to do something, she says, to try to defuse all these extra violent crimes. Get out there with your broom and try to sweep the street or something. You know, it's just crazy. If you read that article, you'll see the nonsense in it. And already it's like the border crisis and, you know, Biden closing or opening the border. Well, okay. He says, now I've got trouble. We need help at the border. We're being overrun. Duh. And in New York, you know, de Blasio's wife is saying, help. We're being overrun with crime and stuff. When we defunded the police, let me think what caused that. These people are nuts.
I watched a video of a shooting in the Bronx, and I mean, it was a horrible video. There's no way you're going to get in between, change the subject. You know, no, it's out of control. And these people are absolutely bonkers to think. You know, what I learned here, and we had a newscast last night. In my township, which has always been sensible, sane, they're defunding the police, but they're doing it by not replacing those who retire, those quit, those. And the police chief got on and said, "Hey, look, you guys are defunding us." "Oh no, we're not." But this is happening all over the country. Especially in blue states, and sadly, you know, I live in a blue state, which, what am I thinking?
Yeah, me too. You know, it used to be better, but it's not now.
I'm telling you, man. So, yeah, again, Stan, I tell you what, you and Holly, my wife and I, and Eric the tech and family, we'll move to Florida. What do you think? It's get out of the weather.
Well, except for the weather down there and the low-lying land and the chances of the Cumbre de Vieja erupting and putting a landslide down into the ocean and putting a tidal wave 135 feet tall hitting Florida all the way up to North Carolina. That's too close to the sea level for me. And the water down there, the groundwater is not good. And it's being overrun with boa constrictors and crocodiles. I don't know.
As long as there's no spiders.
Yeah, that's a good map here, Eric. You can see the flooding potential for sea level rise. A number of things can cause these sea level rises. Over on the left side of it, there where Arizona is in the picture, that shows what happened if the sea level dropped a mile over on Arizona so that the sea would come up in between the three mesas of the Hopi Nation. You can see where that arrow points. And I kind of said, look, you know, I think it's going to be more from flooding from the Colorado River and blockage in the Rio Grande that will do this flooding between the three mesas. But in recent days, I have read other things that said that the drop of the southern California plate, if we get these huge shakes, earthquakes and things, that it could drop down and lose that shelf, it would sink to, you know, 5,000 feet. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that will happen, and that will cause the water between the three mesas. But the eastern side of that, in the middle of the map, is based on 200-foot sea level rise, which is quite feasible within the next 7 or 8 years due to a number of factors out there, melting ice and shifts in the geography or, of the United States.
Doug, you can live for cheap on a boathouse in Florida.
I was just thinking, the house on stilts.
Oh, I don't know. You'd sleep with an inner tube strapped around your butt. That's what.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's just it is. Now, some of the changes that are predicted to happen in prophecy, the increase in earthquake in diverse places, and I'm not sure whether it says volcanoes, but that's happening as a result. We're seeing a lot of these earthquakes down in New Zealand and up in Iceland. Earthquakes are being are increasing, shall we say, the last 70 days since January 1, anyway. There's been a huge increase in the number of earthquakes over Richter 4.0. Now, in 2013, these earthquakes occurred on the kind of the plate definition for the Australian plate and New Zealand. And you can see in slide 46, looking at the picture, you can see you can see the comparison between now, the first 70 days of this year, versus the first 70 days of 2013. It goes down there. And we have more than them at that point because they're concentrated in the Kermadec Islands, just north of there, and just north of the Kermadec Islands as well. Now, if you look at slide 47, same thing. It's a picture of the earthquakes this year, the first 70 days. And you can see, you can click on that and enlarge it. Oh, that is big, isn't it? Excuse me.
Wow, look at, folks, if you're listening to this by way of radio, go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to today's program. You'll see it's just a tremendous map. Wow. Looking at that, that's disconcerting. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and that's just the first 70 days. As I say, we're seeing activities down there, in New Zealand, which are leading to more quakes down into New Zealand itself, from the Kermadec down to New Zealand, along the shifting line, the plate border, which could release Lake Taupo, the Taupo caldera, into that huge supercomputer that I saw in Dream Visions and that the Hopis have been telling the New Zealanders is coming. So the activity down there is interesting. We want to look at, which is that? Okay, let's look at slide 48 picture, the graph.
All right.
Now, this shows where earthquakes are going globally in the first 90 or 70 days of this year compared to the first 70 days of the, 21 years prior. And you can see the red line shows, it's what's called a trend line, shows the trend toward more earthquakes. Now, in 2010, you had a high peak of 623 of these major quakes at that time. Probably Richter 5 or 6 above, something like that, in that first 70 days. Now we're at 585. It's lagging behind a bit to where it was in 2010. But the curve, the trend is, we're in for another bunch of earthquakes. Again, kind of saying toward biblical prophecy, an increase of earthquakes in diverse places, not just, New Zealand or whatever, all over the place. Remember the Maori woman told me after I made the announcement over at Art Bell about this dream vision about the Lake Taupo eruption. She said that before that happens, there will be a warning to the people that the earth changes are about to happen. And that warning will be in China, where a dam due to shoddy construction or shoddy materials will break and kill hundreds of people. Now, she said later in another email to me, it has to do with a bunch of logs that were stacked up in the wrong place or something that fall and collapse and break a dam. Now, I don't think that's going to be the Three Gorges Dam. I could be wrong, but I think it's going to be a small one up in the tributaries that will break and cause this the scandal. But watch for a dam breaking in China and making, you know, world news because of this collapse of this dam. That will then tell you that Lake Taupo is about to go. But when we're seeing right now these earthquakes, you know, right north of there at Kermadec, and where you're looking at sevens and eights, and it's a very active area. It's the most active it's been since 2013. We could be approaching the time of the North Island being destroyed by the Taupo eruption. So keep an eye on China and a problem with a dam, if you trust what the Maori woman said. Now, go down to slide 43. This is showing another graph of earthquakes globally. And it's, again, the first 65 to 70 days of the years that I'm testing from 1996 to now. And you can see that for Richter 4 earthquakes on the planet everywhere, we're seeing that green trend line is, you know, a straight line trend toward increases. And the red dotted line is what we call a polynomial approximation, which shows that we're headed for really high times in 2021 and 2022, more Richter 4 earthquakes globally. So the evidence is all, you know, starting to say, look for earthquakes like crazy. And volcanoes, if you look at slide 50, these are the currently erupting volcanoes around the planet, and that kind of tells you where seismic activity is probably going to be prominent. I look at South America and Central America. It's very active for volcanoes. But Iceland is getting ready. We think it's going to have a serious eruption there. And the way I look at that is I go down to slide 38. Scientists in Iceland say strong signs of volcanic eruption is imminent. So this is along a ridge that goes down through the Atlantic to the South Atlantic, an old ridge that formed when the plates were breaking apart from Pangaea. And if you then go to the picture underneath, or look on the picture, sorry, you'll see I had a look with their computer over in Iceland at the area where the quakes are occurring. And if you look at Iceland from the top of that picture there, you see, okay, right there in that little peninsula jutting off from Iceland, this is where it's about to blow. And if you raise the picture up to the next level, there you go. This is looking with their program at the 3D imagery, so you can see how close to the surface they are and how strong they are, the earthquakes that they're monitoring, which tell you that there's magma moving like crazy and fixing to blow the heck out of Iceland. If you click on the text on the second pair, I don't get to the other. I thought I put a link to this website there in Iceland, but you can check through the news. I think you can find it there, where you can get to that computer yourself and move it around and see in 3D where these earthquakes are occurring in Iceland. And along with this comes neat stuff like, is there a hollow earth? Wow. Slide 37, sorry. There are two articles. There's the one right up next to the text at 37, and then also see scientists detect. Basically, what they've done is they've somehow or another reanalyzed a lot of their seismic data over the years and found out, oh, surprise, surprise, there's another shell down inside the earth. And you can see that in the picture. If you click on the picture, you can see that they've now found a new shell deep down close to the core. So that we have a core within a core. Lending, in fact, notice they've separated these shells. That's okay, but there's gaps in between there. I'm pretty sure this is real life, is that there are zones between the shells of material going down to the core. I've talked about this many times in the formation, you know, from gravity, as to how we can have shells within the earth. And they're just now catching up, these guys. There's a video that you can link to on that and see. And the video, of course, goes and discusses all these, different parts there. Sarah, I hit that thing there. Those are videos that you can click on both of those there. Anyway.
Wow. Look at that. Though. You know, you were right. You've been correct, folks.
Yeah.
And does this go to the Earth expanding, getting bigger? I mean, does that play into this at all or no?
It could, because I do think while the Earth is still hot like this, that it can expand a bit more. At some point, it's going to cool enough that it will no longer expand, but it may crack the outer mantle because of the expansion of the hot core still. Mars shows evidence of this. Our moon shows evidence of this. Now, the moon is already frozen to where it's going to be, but it's basically hollow inside. It's so tinny when we get to the surface with, seismic devices that are thrown down to the lunar surface. They ring from 30 to 40 minutes inside, which tells us it's crystallized inside and cool. So its expansion is over. But ours still has time to go. And I think as the surface cools, as I said here on Earth, that the expansion of the core may proceed a bit more. And if it does, it'll create cracks in the surface of the Earth, which we are seeing small cracks in Mexico and various other places where the, 40, 50 foot long cracks are appearing in the desert floor and stuff just out of nowhere. So yeah, it could affect us. An interesting thing, in slide 44, there was a mystic rabbi and he reveals a prophecy saying the snow this month is a harbinger of famine preceding redemption to Israel. And he's referencing Isaiah 1:18 from the Israel Bible. It says, come, let us reach an understanding, says Hashem. Hashem is God. Be your sins like crimson, they can turn snow white. Be they red as dyed wool, they can become white like fleece. And he's referencing then the snow falling on Jerusalem. And if you look there, you can see the snowfall in this picture, plus the one I've got on that slide, the pictures at a close-up on the Wailing Wall with the snow. And he's saying that, okay, this is fulfilling prophecy, or starting to fulfill prophecy, what's going to happen to Israel, and our sins will be wiped away, and the Messiah will come, and that sort of stuff. Of course, they're still speaking of a Messiah to come rather than Jesus, the return. So anyway, but it's interesting to see that the Israeli news is publishing things that are fulfillments of ancient, Old Testament prophecies for the current age for Israel. A thing to watch. How much time have we got left?
We have about 2 minutes left, sir.
Two?
Yes, sir. Two.
All right. Yeah. Okay. 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, tell me your life history here. Okay. Perry Stone, slides 40, 41, 42. It's good to watch the video that goes with this. He's looking at a new currency that's been proposed but not adopted, the North American currency. And you can click on each of these pictures and see close-ups of these pictures. And I think they might zoom up. I'm not sure. Let me see.
They do.
Yeah. And you can see that no mention of God in these things. You can see the pyramid in that one in the upper left. If you click on that, Eric, in the upper left dollar there, thing there, you'll see the pyramid, that we see on the normal dollar bill, the upper left one there. Click on, it's as big as you get. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay, well, there you see the pyramid, but notice the capstone is there. It's not missing. It's in place and indicating the New World Order is now in control. And this is being proposed, for a currency for Canada, the United States, and Mexico in a joint North American union. It goes further in the thing about digital currency and other things that are being proposed. The $10 mark there says this is legal transactional tender by Union of the North American Republic, established and authorized by the Free Trade and Recovery Act of the Central Bank, approved by the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of Canada and the Bank of Mexico. Wow.
Yeah.
If they do make this, if they do go ahead and disseminate this, it won't last long because they've got to go to digital to control everybody. These things can be counterfeited just like our money.
I got to tell you that's disturbing. That's the only thing I can say. North American Union, the currency, and of course the global reset. Stan, thank you. I want to thank you so very much for all you do, your hard work.
Thank you.
All right.
See you next week.
God bless you and Holly and the four-legged one. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, that'll do it. Have a great night. May God bless. Good night.